Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hello, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to another episode of our ongoing series about the U.S. Supreme Court taking up this very important abortion decision. It's a case called Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. Coming out of Mississippi, it is reviewing a law that protects babies from 15 weeks of pregnancy forward. Now, up until this point, the court has struck down most laws that try to protect babies before viability, saying that laws protecting babies before viability are unconstitutional. But the Supreme Court has agreed to review that very question. Should these laws be considered unconstitutional simply because the babies they protect are pre-viability? Well, what we're doing in this series, as you know, is we are talking to various friends, colleagues, other organizations, and ministries that have submitted Friend of the Court briefs to the Supreme Court in favor of Mississippi's position. We at Priests for Life have submitted such a brief, and there have been about 80 such briefs on the pro-life side of this particular question. And we're helping you to understand the arguments that these briefs contain. Well, today I'm happy to introduce David Kubal, who is the president and CEO of Intercessors for America. David and I have been together on a number of occasions, in person and also online. And we want you to get to know what Intercessors for America is, as well as the brief we're going to discuss. But David, we welcome you to the program. You have been in public ministry for over 25 years, as I understand it. You have a Master's of Divinity degree from Asbury Theological Seminary. And Intercessors for America, I mean, what a great movement this is. I know that you mobilize and train and connect people across the nation who are praying for the nation, praying for America. Tell us in a nutshell a little bit more about this ministry.
Well, first, Father Pavone, thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you today. Thank you for all that you do and Priests for Life and for how you guys have been fighting the good fight for so many years. And it's great to be able to talk with you today. Intercessors for America is a ministry nearly 50 years old. And if you could boil down what we do, it's really three words. It's news, it's prayer, and it's action. What we do is we inform, connect, and mobilize hundreds of thousands of intercessors all across this nation through providing accurate news, truthful news in this day and age, and then connect them with a community of prayer. But action has got to be a part of that. And so we activate our network in so many different ways.
And among those ways, of course, both you and I and our respective ministries have gone before the Supreme Court at this crucially important moment in the pro-life movement to say to them, you got to get rid of Roe v. Wade. It's time. Not only because it's unconstitutional and immoral, but it's obsolete. I mean, many of the briefs have been making that argument. It's obsolete. The conditions that prevailed at the time of Roe, some of which led the court to legalize abortion, are not there now. Yeah. But, you know, I must say, I have your brief, as I know you do, in your hand. This brief from Intercessors for America is one of the most biblically explicit and prophetic of all the briefs that have been submitted. And I very much am inspired by that. I mean, you guys have gone before the court with this brief like the prophets of old, right?
Well,
tell us about it.
Well, yeah, and it's just such a great opportunity. And I tell you what, you men and women of faith that are watching this broadcast today, be encouraged. There have never been so many biblical arguments for life being presented before the Supreme Court. So the brief that Priests for Life and so many other different fabulous organizations, Christian organizations that have put forth briefs at this moment in time is really an indication of what God is doing in the faith community. People of faith are just tired of the scourge and the judgment over this nation that's come through elective abortion on demand. And so, you know, Father Pavone, in your opening comments, you talked about viability. And what's so interesting about that is Roe is based upon viability, but let's face it, the fetus is viable at conception. You just have to do something to not make it viable. And so that just demonstrates the incorrect legal argument of Roe. But not only that, as our brief at Intercessors for America puts forth, that Roe is based upon a pagan worldview. And a pagan worldview comes at this conception of a fetus at conception and says it's not a person, it's just a blob of matter. And only weeks along, at some point when it's viable, that it becomes life. Well, for those of us of faith, those of us who believe in God and the God of the Bible, we believe that life begins at conception. We believe that in our mother's womb, God knits us together. We believe that God created us and his ways are wonderful. And so what our brief does is it contrasts those two worldviews, a pagan worldview with a faith worldview. And that's the basic argument that we put before the court.
It is a powerful argument. It's really striking when you read through this brief. You come right out and say that, you know, you're saying to the court, you've sided with a pagan view. Yeah. And let's dig into that just a little bit more, because I was struck by a line in the brief that says, you know, abortion is essentially a religious question. Now, of course, a lot of people, myself included, will point out that, hey, listen, there are many, many non-religious arguments against abortion. We know from science, you know, that we know how you and I began, right? And when all our genetic characteristics were established at fertilization. So there's a basic science which is knowable by anybody. But the brief goes on to point out, and I'd like you to just expand on this a little bit, that while science can tell us a lot about human life and about who this baby is in the womb, science does not answer the question how we should treat that life. And I think that's what you're getting at, isn't it? When you say, well, the court has taken a pagan worldview. Okay, the science is the science, and many briefs articulate the science very, very well. But we're talking about a values question here, right? It's like, what are we going to do when we come face to face with this life in the womb?
Yeah, it's a moral issue, and it's a moral issue that we've allowed the court to decide on in this matter. And those men and women of faith that we represent, Father Pavone, I mean, that's offensive to us. It's not only offensive to us, but we know it's offensive to our God that values life at the point of conception. If you don't determine it at that point, at what point do you determine it? Science is still fighting. The courts are still deciding on this fake viability argument. That's impossible. The fetus is viable at the point of conception forward. And so that's the moral issue. So do we value life all the way through a person's life? And if we do, then we've got to begin valuing life at the point of conception.
You know, the brief goes on to talk about the court has constitutionalized moral issues and undermined morality. You know, it's created a strange situation where, you know, the states can pass laws about all kinds of medical procedures, but it's only when it comes to abortion that the court has kind of lifted it up, okay, out of the hands of the states, and it's given it this protected status as if it's some kind of constitutional entity, which it's not. And that has stymied the ability of the states. This is one of the things Mississippi is complaining about, right? It stymied the ability of the states to act on what they, often with religious motives, inspired by their people, are trying to do to protect these babies and to protect their moms and their families. So the undermining of morality, that is a key and strong theme of this brief.
Absolutely. And the old saying is you can't legislate morality, but you're exactly right, Father Pavone. We do all of the time. And it's only when the left decides that it's time to legislate on this moral issue is appropriate. Well, let me just tell you what, that we agree with the governor of Mississippi, Governor Bryant, during when this law was put into effect, when he said that he wants Mississippi to be the safest place for the unborn in America. Boy, our hearts really resonate with that. And we want America to be a safe place for the unborn because it's a moral issue. It's a life issue. We value life because God values life. He has created every single person, every single fetus, as the scripture says, with a plan and purpose in his heart that God wants to see come to fruition throughout the course of that person's life.
And for our viewers that are just joining us, let me just remind you, we are talking with David Kubal, who is the president of Intercessors for America. Mm-hmm. And we're discussing the brief that ministry has submitted to the Supreme Court in the current Dobbs case, this very important abortion case. And so, David, let's go into this second part of the brief here. Very fascinating arguments here. The court has de facto established paganism as our nation's religion. And then there's three subsections here. The collective, elevation of the collective over the individual. Yeah. Evicting God from government schools. Yeah. And rewriting the Establishment Clause to undermine Christianity. Tell us a little bit about these arguments that the brief is bringing forward.
Wow, you asked really good questions. Let me just tell you, the legal firm that we use to write this, they're the ones that should be answering the question. They are yes. William Olson. He's filed 150 amicuses with the Supreme Court. Justices have quoted his work. And it was so interesting to talk with him about this opportunity we had. He said he had been looking for 40 years for a case and a client to put forth this argument. Yeah. And we had this God moment that was really, really incredible. But just to go back to the first point, Father Pavone, the idea that common cultural opinion becomes the morals of the day if you have a pagan point of view. If God is not a God that provides for us direction and morals and reasons to live our life, then it is totally up to whatever the opinion is of the day. And right. we've just seen this court in the past few years go in that direction, especially with Obergefell and Bostock and those cases that decided on moral issues that are moral to us from a faith perspective. But to them, it was just as if culture had evolved to the point where these opinions are now enforced by law. So maybe I'll just stop there and see if you have any thoughts on that.
Yes, you know, it's a trajectory, isn't it? I mean, we've seen for decades, you know, a prayer is cast out of the public schools, you know, a few decades ago by the Supreme Court, a Bible reading, the posting of the Ten Commandments, you know. So what do people expect is going to be the result for the moral behavior of these students we're trying to educate if you disconnect them from the sources of moral behavior, right? It's just, and I think it's, you know, it's a strong, like, that's why I said at the beginning that, you know, this really is a prophetic brief because it's like you're going before the court and saying, look what you've done to the moral standards of our country. Is it any wonder that we've got a Holocaust of dead babies all around us because of what you've done? But it's a prophetic stance to the court that also says you have an opportunity now to change course. Yeah. And that's the upside of it is we still do have a moment here, an opportunity, if we take it, to set things back on the right course.
Yeah, and you know, our founding fathers warned us that a democracy will only be held by a moral populace. And And that's really part of what we're seeing right now. You know, the good news, Father Pavone, is that we have three new Supreme Court justices that have been appointed to the court. And they've been appointed because they are textualists, which means they believe the Constitution as it was written, as it was meant to be written and understood back when it was written. And so that is an opportunity that we have not had for a number of years. And so this case is an important case at an important point in time with a brand new court. So we're really praying hard about this, that God would move among these nine Supreme Court justices.
Well, you know, the work of the administration of President Trump and the Republican Senate that confirmed his appointments to the courts is we're seeing the fruit of that, all that hard work and the hard work of the people who elected both President Trump and those senators that confirmed these justices. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in the situation where we are now, would we? It was a great victory. You know, there's one other point that I was struck by in this brief, among many others, but blood guilt.
Yeah.
The brief actually brings up the theme, which is, a very biblical theme of blood guilt, that when innocent blood is shed on the land, all the people on the land have to answer for it.
Yeah.
And from the blood of Abel, we see the blood spoke right from the ground, and God heard the sound of the blood. And then Jesus makes reference to that, the blood of Abel and all the prophets, that was the blood that was spilled through all those ages. And I was just so struck by the fact, I don't know if the theme of blood guilt has ever been brought up in a brief to the Supreme Court, you know, maybe somewhere, somehow, but it certainly is in this one. And that's fascinating.
Yeah. And, you know, if you don't mind, I'm going to grab my notes here because I want to read from actually another brief. This brief is actually from the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Okay.
And I think it tees up this point that you're making very well. Their argument is that religious ideology has always been and remains the primary threat to reproductive freedom in the United States. So they're making the point, this is the other side, the pro-choice, the pro-abortives, they're making the point that us, men and women of faith with a religious ideology, are the threat to their concept of reproductive freedom. So they build that case out in their brief, and they mention a number of briefs, including yours, Father Pavone, in their brief on the pro-life side from a faith perspective, but they only quote one brief, and they happen to quote Intercessors for America's brief. And let me read it because this makes your point. They quote, they pull from our brief, the point is, this is again, Freedom From Religion Foundation's amicus quoting Intercessors for America's brief. We said in our brief, the point is that God rules in the affairs of men, and he cannot ignore the shedding of innocent blood. Hmm. And so right there, that's the titanic battle. The battle that says that men and women of faith are the biggest threat to reproductive rights. And then those of us who are men and women of faith who say that God governs the affairs of man, and the shedding of innocent blood cannot be overlooked. And so that's really what's at issue here. For those of us who come at this from a faith perspective, it breaks God's heart to see all this innocent blood shed upon our land. And those of us who live in this country are under judgment as a result of that. And we need to pray. We need to do everything we can in order to ensure our Supreme Court lines up with the courts of heaven on this issue.
Exactly. And speaking of that, I know that you and I have talked before about the day of the oral arguments is going to be December the 1st. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a lot of activity that day, both at the court and throughout the country, activity of prayer, repentance, intercession, and education. Tell us a little bit about what you've got planned for that day.
Well, our brief actually is ongoing in that people can go to appealingforlife.com and you can actually type in a prayer to God that will be demonstrate your passion for life. It will be seen by the Supreme Court justices because it's part of our brief. And so Supreme Court justices will see your prayers. And so we will be doing an Appeal for Life event. We actually have some space rented right next to the Supreme Court. And then we're gathering with the pro-life community. And I imagine Father Pavone will be there at the same podium at probably at different times doing our press conferences. But actually during the oral arguments on December the 1st at 10 o'clock in the morning, our team will be, of hundreds of people, will be circling the Supreme Court in a prayer walk. I'm really excited to be partnering on this project with Students for Life and Kristen Hawkins. And so we're going to have college kids, and then our intercessors are advanced in our years. So we've got, yep, there's the website right there. We've got the opportunity for you to be involved in it right now. But not only that, you can come to D.C. on November the 30th and December the 1st. And I'm sure, Father Pavone, you're going to be having things going on there too. Connect with Priests for Life, connect with our Appeal for Life efforts. It's going to be an exciting time, a great time to be present, to share our point of view and to pray.
It sure will. Well, David, we look forward to seeing you there together with the people that you'll be bringing, and just thank you for sharing your insights and your passion and your prayerfulness. Why don't we pray now? Could I ask you to lead our viewers in a moment of prayer right now?
Yeah, Father, we come before you, and Lord, it pains our heart to consider some 65 million plus young men and women never had the opportunity to experience all that you had planned for them because of the scourge of abortion that is upon our land. Father, we pray against this covenant of death that our judicial system has made. Lord God, we pray for this Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization case. Father, we pray that our court would align with the courts of heaven, that the things that are close to your heart would be close to the heart of these justices. Father, we pray for these 9 Supreme Court justices. Father, would you visit them in the night on the value of life? Would you show them obviously how important it is to protect life from the point of conception to natural death? Father, we ask you to move in this great day. Lord, I'm so grateful for Priests for Life and for Father Pavone and all the work that they do. I pray blessing upon their organization. May you provide for them everything they need in this day to continue the fight that they are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Well, blessings to you as well and to all the intercessors that you mobilize across the country, David. And we certainly look forward to seeing you very soon.
Thank you so much.
And friends, remember too, you can go for educational information about these briefs and their arguments to supremecourtvictory.com. And on that page, you'll see news articles about the case as it proceeds. And you'll also see a prayer there too that you can say each day for victory in this case. Thank you for watching this episode and continue to tune in, friends, to the various interviews that we will do with the various groups that have made arguments to the court in this supremely important abortion case. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. We will talk to you soon. God bless.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.